That is such a beautiful declaration, if I can put it that way. It's a beautiful declaration that all of our lives, he's been faithful to us. Hasn't he? Man, if we really just start thinking and going back and realizing that in the hardest of times, he was faithful. If he wasn't, we wouldn't be here. Amen? We wouldn't be here. All our lives, he has been faithful. And all our lives, he has been so, so good. Even when I am not good. There were some moments this week, Hope City, where I was not good. I'm not proud of that. I'm not thankful for that. I'm not doing anything but telling you the reality. There were moments this week when I was not good, but God was good. And boy, did I need his goodness. And there were moments this week when others in my life were not good, Hope City. Can I get an amen? Not pointing fingers, not staring down anybody. No, really, you guys, that's just life, isn't it? There's moments in life when we're not good, moments in life when others in the world are not good, but God is still good. And we will have a lifetime to appreciate that, and then we'll have an eternity to revel in that goodness and to walk with. Can you imagine that? Walk with the very goodness of God in the person of Jesus. We will walk, we will talk, we will be face to face like it was designed from the Garden of Eden, that this is my God and we are his people. And we'll walk with him in that way. What a beautiful worship team. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. I'm so thankful. If I haven't met you, my name is Mark. Thanks for joining us today to worship Jesus. It's good to have you with us. You know, my normal prepping for a message or giving a teaching or whatever is usually a couple weeks out. I start just kind of thinking and praying and maybe taking some light notes. And then as the week gets closer to the week where I'm going to be teaching, then I'll take even more significant notes, but they're usually handwritten. And then at some point during that week, I'll open up my computer because I don't make these slides, you guys. Because when I used to, yeah. Just trust me, they were horrible slides. So Abigail makes the slides, but then what I'll do is then I'll just adjust them and usually put a mistake or two in there. And then, but that's done sort of like during the week. And so that process went as normal sort of this week. And then, but every time I would open up my computer to start putting in the slides, I would get distracted. Something would come up. One day I had this sense of like, and you might think I'm a little weird, but one day I had this sense of like God saying, Mark, just shut the lid. I'm not there right now. I'm not there right now. So just shut the lid. And so I just shut the lid and I could never get myself to take it from these notes to this place of slides. Okay. Does that make sense? That's way more than you wanted to know. But this morning I realized, you know, and God put this on my heart this morning. He said, Mark, we're talking about training in godliness. That's what we've been talking about all summer long, how we can train ourselves to be godly, to walk more and more and more in light of who God is and this path that he has for us. We've been talking about that. And he said, Mark, go really techno light. Go techno free this morning. Don't make any slides. Just don't put anything together because maybe this will be a way for people to just think a little bit. I'm not going to teach on this at all, you guys, but you know, during the summer, training in godliness sometimes is taking a break from our technology, Hope City. Amen. That was weak, that was half-hearted, but I get it. I got my phone sitting right there. So maybe One of the things, as we talk about many other things related to training in righteousness, maybe one of the things God wants to do in you during this time is a little techno break. That's all I'm going to say on it. There'll be no more slides. We have one slide for today because that one was already produced. So that's what's going to sit up there this morning. We've been talking about this. So if you have your Bibles, I guess you could go on your phone, but then your neighbors will judge you, but like whatever. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Timothy. I'm just being serious. You can turn to 1 Timothy. I'm kidding, you guys. Come on, it's summer. 1 Timothy 4. Let me see what we want to be at here. We want to be in 1 Timothy 4. We're going to start in about verse 6. 1 Timothy 4:6. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew. If you don't own a Bible, you can take one home with you. We would love to gift you a Bible if you do not have one. So 1 Timothy 6, this is where this comes from, this idea of training in righteousness. Timothy, by the way, is about that far through your Bible. That's about 96% of the way through the Bible. So it's right in the back. Okay, for me, it's on page 11, 12, but that's not going to help you at all unless you, all right, 1 Timothy 4, that's what I said, didn't I? 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6, okay, I told you, techno savvy, and we're not going to be too smooth this morning, I promise you that, but I believe with all my heart God has something for us, okay, I really do. I think God has something for us. 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6. If you put these things of who God is and the holiness of God, if you put these things before the brothers and sisters, remember we can add that when the text allows it, it does. When you put these things before the brethren, before the body of Christ, you will be a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Being training in godliness, being trained like a soldier in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, aka YouTube. I'm just kidding. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. I'm just kidding, you guys. You gotta lighten up a little bit. Rather, here's the key, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, training in godliness is of value in every way, which holds promise in the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end, we toil and strive. We said training in godliness is not easy. It's not easy. It's not designed to be. If you are training to be a soldier, if you are training to be a top-level athlete, if you are training for a specific occupation that requires a lot of schooling and education, it is not going to be easy. Training in godliness is not. To this end, he says, we toil and we strive. If we are not ready to work, then we are not ready to train in godliness. It's going to be work. It just is. For to this end, we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Training in godliness. We've talked about three things so far. We're going to do a little review. It's about halfway through the summer. It's about halfway. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. Summer doesn't officially end, though, until September 22nd. Okay, so we're going to go with that. We're going to stick with, we got about 3 weeks into September, because those are beautiful weeks up here. So we're going to go with that. But we're about halfway into the summer. We're also about halfway through the year. And so when you get halfway through something, it is good to just pause a little bit. Slow things down a little bit. I've talked to so many people just this week who've said, the summer is flying by. It's flying by. And it is. I feel like it too. I can't believe it's the middle of July. But this morning, what we want to do is we want to slow that down. We want to look back. We want to take a few minutes to consider, how am I doing? And have this conversation, God, how am I doing training myself this summer in godliness? We talked first about meditation, about how one of the training methods is meditation. And we talked about three things that we meditate on. I'm going to put this out to you guys. Can you remember any of those three things we meditate on? What's one? His word. Number one, we meditate upon the word of God. Number two, we meditate on his works, the things that he has done. And number three, we meditate on him. We meditate on God himself. Very good, you guys. That is awesome. And we came up with these little meditation cards to have 40 days of meditation. Now, I will tell you that I am behind. Confession's good for the soul. I'm behind, but I'm not quitting. Many times when we get behind in our training, one of the most dangerous things is when you feel like you're behind in something, you just quit. You just stop doing it because, well, I'm so far behind and I should be here, but I'm here. And so then we just throw in the towel. I will tell you, any training that you do, whether that is as a soldier, as an athlete, as a student, as a worker, you are going to occasionally feel like you've dropped behind. The key is not never dropping behind. The key is stepping back in. When you find yourself behind, just keep on going through it. So we talked about meditating, and if you need a refresher in that, or you lost your card or whatever, I have some more cards right here for meditation. 40 days of meditation on his word, on his works, and on himself. Okay, so those will be up there if anybody wants one after. Get back into it. Then we talked about, Dane gave an amazing message on living free in the exile. And now sometimes, and this is what struck me as with his message, sometimes we can get comfortable. We can get comfortable in the exile. We can get comfortable in a place that's not our home. We can try to build a castle and a kingdom in a place that is designed for us to be temporary. This life, this world, this earth is not our home. Amen? So don't get comfortable here. Don't try to seek all comfort out of this life. And we can find ourselves getting comfortable in a place of exile. We are ambassadors for Christ. That means that we are here for a purpose. We are here to represent Christ in a foreign land. That is why that analogy is used. Like an ambassador who is living in a foreign land. If they get too comfortable, they become dangerous because then they lose their mission. Any ambassador to a foreign land is in great danger if they get comfortable in that foreign land. There has to be a level of, this is not my home. I am here for a purpose. Earth is not our home. When we trusted in Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of our sin and the salvation of our eternity, when we trusted in him, we became citizens of heaven. This is not our home. This is temporary. So Dane, thank you. And we are training ourselves to not get comfortable in the exile. And then the last 2 weeks, we talked about rest. We talked about one of my very favorite passages in all of the Bible, one of Jesus' greatest invitations to us, when he said, come to me. This invitation that is open for every human being that has ever lived, will ever live at any part of the planet, in anything that they have ever done, in anything that has ever been done to them. Jesus says, come to me. If you are weary, if you are heavy laden, if you are depressed, if you are anxious, if you are up, if you are down, if you can't handle it, if you want to go climb into a hole, Jesus says, come to me. And I will promise to give you rest. One of the greatest invitations for all of mankind, and that plays out on many levels. If you've never trusted in Jesus, and all of us were in that place at some point, nobody comes out of the womb trusting in Jesus. We come out of the womb with a sinful nature. You've probably already, you know, you haven't quite seen that yet, have you guys? But you've seen it as you work down the row. Love you, kids. I'm just kidding with you. We are born with a nature that has a propensity to sin. We are born with that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all sinned. And so until we trust that Jesus Christ took care of all of the sin problem, then our souls are not at rest. So our initial come to Jesus moment is coming by faith to say, Jesus, you paid the price. You took the cost. You became sin for my sin. And when I trust in that, put my faith, my reliance in that exclusively, then I have eternal spiritual rest. And then as we start walking out life with Jesus, the enemy, our sin, our culture, our past, our future starts coming after us and attacking that rest. Last week, we talked about these four barriers to rest, four barriers, things that stop us from truly resting. I heard multiple of you and I heard it in my own heart. Realize that, man, I grumble without even realizing. I talked about grumbling being a barrier to rest. It didn't take me till but Monday to start grumbling after I gave the message on grumbling. That happens, by the way. It's a danger of the occupation. Occupational hazard, like you're going to get tested on whatever you think you're going to stand up there and talk about. And man, did I find a grumbling heart just right there if I let that thing go. Tell you a story about that in a minute, but Jesus makes this great invitation, come to me. You know, we actually began 2025 with a little bit of a training in godliness, but we didn't call it that. But we talked about a chapter in the Bible, and then we talked about a word. Now, does anybody remember the chapter in the Bible that we started off? I know we're going back, you guys. It's like January, but like, does anybody remember the chapter in the Bible that we started the year with? Psalm, that's correct. It's in the Psalms. You got 150 options. And the back, all the way in the back. 25, Wesley, nicely played. Psalm 25. We said Psalm 25, we were going to challenge ourselves to read that and even to memorize that. Now, we've been passing out these cards. We've been a little slack on it lately, but I have new cards for you. And I don't know where you're at in your Psalm 25 memorization challenge, but I want to encourage you with that today. And I want to pass out these cards, but oh, I can't show that. Does anyone remember the word from Psalm 25 that we talked about in January? All the way in the back in a peach shirt, but I can't see the face. Kava, give her a round of applause. She's speaking Hebrew back there. Now, the even more difficult question, what does kava mean in the original Hebrew language? What does that same peach shirt, is that Grace? Because I can't, okay, Grace, you, okay, what does it mean, Grace? To join together, bind together, perhaps by twisting. Now you guys really got to give her some love. Because if you look here on the very definition, it is to bind together, perhaps by twisting, word for word. Grace, that is awesome. And we started off the year making a challenge. Didn't foresee this training in godliness summer thing coming, but we gave a challenge to memorize Psalm 25. And I told you guys that this was really a challenge that God had just stirred my heart to do at the end of 2024. And you could be invited into that challenge if you want to. So can I get two volunteer helpers? We're going to pass these out today. Come on up. Just come on up. Yeah, I'll take any of you super cool kids in the back. Or the cool. No, you can come, Beth. Beth, come on. Well, I need a lot of helpers. Good. Come on up. I need a lot of helpers.
You need a lot of helpers.
I'm not gonna make any more of this than this, but happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can clap for it. Okay, start passing them out. Pass them out. Arrow, there you go, buddy. Hello. There you go. There's some for you. Okay, make sure everybody gets one of those. Our Psalm 25. Oh, did I give mine last one away? No, I got one. We were challenging ourselves. And again, because I was stirred, I opened up and invited you all into this. This word kavah is three times in Psalm 25. And it's whenever you read the word wait upon or wait for, that is that word kavah. And Psalm 25, if you remember, was written with a purpose. There was a specific reason that Psalm 25 was written, and it was written as a specific type of psalm. I'm going to put it out to you guys. Anybody remember the purpose for Psalm 25? I'm testing you. Anybody remember? Yes. It was meant as a prayer specifically for times of what? Trials. Psalm 25 was written specifically, but it was written as a certain kind of psalm. It starts with an A. Anybody remember the name of that psalm? It's called an acrostic psalm. Now, an acrostic psalm is one where they take the letters of the Hebrew alphabet and every phrase begins with that new letter, and it was written specifically to be memorized with the specific purpose of helping get through difficult times. None of us know what times lie ahead in our life. We don't know what difficulties are coming. We just don't. But we know they're coming. And so this psalm was written in particular to help in that. So I had challenged myself. I will tell you guys that this has been a tough challenge for me to memorize. And you're not going to have any verses up there, so you're not going to be able to look up there. But we're gonna do our best to get through as much of Psalm 25 as we can. I'm going to get through maybe about verse 16, 17. That's where I'm at. And I'm going to talk about memorization just a little bit. But I want us to, and this is accountability for me, because I'm not really going to try to look at this at all, okay? And if you haven't started or you got started and you quit, man, this is a great encouragement to jump back into this, okay? So we're going to say this together. If this is the first time you've even been introduced to this, just read it. Just read it along with us. That's totally fine. But this is a psalm that we want to, as we are training in godliness. I'm going to talk about memorization when we're done here. But training in godliness and the memorization of God's word. Okay. Are you ready? You're not near as nervous as I am. Okay. Pray for me, Swanee. You got me on this? Thanks, brother. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He teaches the humble his way. No, he leads the humble in the way that is right, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who fears the Lord, him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. He known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Well, let's keep going. Violent hatred, they hate me. I got stuck. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Give yourself a round. You guys did very well. See, that's the dangerous part about being up here. I messed that up a couple of times. Thanks for getting me back on track. This has been hard. I really quickly, and then the worship team's going to come on back up. I got three little whys. Memorization is important. And then I got three little tips that have come from the last 6 months of me, an old guy struggling through memorizing a bigger passage than I've memorized in a long time. The whys of memorize. Why should I do this? It's hard. It's boring. Why should I memorize scripture? There's a lot of other things I can do. It's not entertaining. Why should I memorize scripture? I have three little whys. Number one, it helps us to distinguish truth from error. Memorizing God's word helps us distinguish truth, what is true, from what is in error. This is so key in this time frame that we live in, because error is everywhere. Wrong thinking, wrong acting, wrong is just, it's everywhere. And what the memorization of God's word does is it allows us, it helps us to distinguish between those two things. Psalm 119, verse 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. See, the sum of this is truth. And so the more that we are immersed into God's word, the more we will be able to know what is truly true, and we will be able to see error when it comes up. You know, and this is, you've all heard this before, but it is applicable. People that study currency to see what is true and what is fake currency, they don't study fake currency. They study the original currencies, because if they can know what a real $100 bill looks like, every little crack and crevice and every part of the $100 bill, then they don't need to see what an imposter is, because they know what is true well enough. And if you know what is true, you will be able to distinguish what is false. And so the memorization of the word helps us to distinguish what is true from what is not true. Number two, why memorize? It helps and equips us daily in the battle and in spiritual attacks that are coming. This word is called a two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. This word is called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. This is one of our most clear, obvious offensive weapons against in the spiritual battle and against spiritual attack. It is a weapon. And the memorization of the word is sharpening the edge. It's taking time. I can't sharpen a knife to save my life. Like, those of you real men that can do that, like, I'm so impressed with you. I'm just not one of those guys. So I have to pay people to sharpen my knife. But I've watched some dudes sharpen their knife. Maybe some ladies too. I'm not being that. But like, I'm just saying, like, I've watched some people sharpen their knife. And I'm like, that's boring. And then they're just meticulous, and they have this angle, and they sit there and they sharpen their knife. You know, the memorization of God's word is doing that. It's sharpening our knife. It's monotonous. Trust me, memorizing the word is monotonous. And you get stuck, and you have to go over it and over it. Man, I got stuck on some verses that I had to spend 2 or 3 weeks on. 2 or 3 weeks on one verse because my brain just hit a sticking point. So I had to go over that and over that. And it was monotonous and it started getting boring. But what we're doing, you guys, is we're sharpening our knife. We're preparing ourselves for spiritual battle and spiritual attack. Again, we don't know when that's coming, but we know it is coming. The reality is our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith with the sword of the Spirit, which is your word of God. Okay, number three, why memorize? It helps us through trials and temptations. Memorizing the word helps us through trials and temptations. As I told you, Psalm 25 was written specifically for times of trials, okay? But it's also written for times of temptation. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 11. I have stored up, some translations will say, I have hidden. Psalm 119, 11, I have stored up or hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have stored up this word inside of me, and that helps me to sin less. It helps me to sin less. We memorize because as we immerse the word into ourselves, it helps us through trials and it helps us through temptations. Oftentimes, if you're like me, those two things coexist. If I'm going through a trial, the enemy is going to tempt me. When I go through a difficult time, that's when the enemy swoops in and he says, oh, I can get him on this little vulnerability right over here because I got this little thing. There's this little thing going on over here. And so I'm going to tempt him right at this time of trial. That's why trial and temptation go together. They coexist so often. And the word of God, when we hide it, store it, treasure it, even when it's boring and it's monotonous, even when it doesn't feel like it's doing anything, man, this just feels religious. And it can be religious, but it doesn't have to be. But when we're just going through those motions, what we're doing is we're preparing ourselves for the trials that are coming and the temptation that's coming. Okay, that's why. Now, three little tips on how. These are just three Mark tips from these last 6 months, okay? And then the worship team, you're going to be up here soon. So get ready, Zach, please. Three tips on how. Number one. And I kind of mentioned this already, especially if you are older than 40. Go slow and steady. Don't have this massive pace. I got stuck on this. I had a one verse per week plan. One verse per week plan. And like for the first 3 weeks, that's easy. The first verse is, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Yeah, I can do that in a week. But then as you start to accumulate more and it starts adding up, man, you just have to slow your pace down. Just be slow and steady and don't quit. And I've seen myself, like I said, get stuck on a verse or on one part of a verse and I'll sit there stuck for a few weeks. And I will tell you guys that there was a temptation for me right at that moment to say, I'm done. I'm done. This is too boring. This is too hard. I have all these other things that I can be doing. Why would I get, I'm stuck. Take it slow. Take it steady. Walk the pace. If you are young, God bless you. You have a brain that us old people wish we still had. You can memorize fast. Do it. Immerse yourself into as much scripture as you can when you're young because it just gets harder. But if you're old, just take it slow and steady. Okay, number two, house. One more tip. Choose a time of your memorization of mental clarity. And if you have no mental clarity, that's another sermon. But choose a time in your day. Man, I think I'm so funny. You guys don't think I'm funny at all today. That's really hard. It's really hard. Choose a time when you are most mentally clear. Okay, for me, that is first thing in the morning. So I will memorize, I will quote my verse before I even get out of bed in the morning. So I'll just say it in my mind, in my head, and I won't allow myself to sort of get up and get going until I've said that verse, that part of that, you know, passage that I want to study. And that's the time for me of great mental clarity. And many times what we do, you guys, is our training in godliness takes a back seat to everything else that we have going on in our life. We don't see it this way, but we put a lower priority on our training in godliness than we do the other parts of our life. Rather than saying, God, I'm going to give you my best mental clarity, I'm going to give you, remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. So we give the Lord the best of our mental clarity. So whenever we think the most clearly, we take that time and we invest it into training in godliness. And so for me, that's first thing. I don't know when that is for you. Number three, memorizing tips. Build your bridge before you need it. I've said this expression before. Memorization of scripture is building a bridge that you don't even know you need yet, well before you need it. It is the boring, laborious, sometimes like, what in the world? Why am I even building this bridge? There's no water. But trust me, it is very difficult to build a bridge when there is a flood in your midst. If you try to build a bridge when you need it, probably is not going to happen. So we build the bridge. Memorization of scripture is building a bridge before we need that bridge. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I found myself grumbling. I told you this earlier. I found myself grumbling. The passion that I had for what I do just wasn't there. I love what I do. I'm so privileged and honored to do what I do. I love it. I would never want to do anything else, and no one could talk me out of doing what I do. So I had a temporary loss of passion and energy, and I started grumbling. I'm just like, God, this is just hard, and I don't want it to be. There's a lot of things right now that just sort of are not, and I found myself grumbling and went to bed that way a little bit, and then I woke up. Didn't go away, surprisingly. The grumbling carried me right through. So I woke up in the morning, Wednesday morning, grumbling. And God said, Mark, bring your grumbling to me. He said, come to me. He said, bring your grumbling to me. I'm not afraid of your grumbling. I know exactly what you're grumbling about. I know that you're grumbling about stuff that is hard. I know it's real. So, Mark, please come to me with your grumbling. And that was a radical thought for me. I'm like, well, I got to get through my grumbling so I can come to Jesus. He said, no, come to me in the middle of it. In fact, bring it with you and we'll deal with it together. Come to me with it. And so I came to Jesus, had a come to Jesus moment, and I brought him my grumbling and I started grumbling to the Lord. Because up until that point, I was just grumbling in my own heart. You ever just grumble internally, like, no real words coming out. Might come out in your face, but it's not coming out in your words. Like, I was just grumbling all up in here. And I started to use those words of grumbling with the Lord. And I wasn't grumbling at him. I was just grumbling with him. What I felt like he invited me into. And then he said, Mark, go back to Psalm 25. And this is all happening when I don't have a Bible around me. I'm not sitting. I'm just in this place. And I said, to you, O God, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait, kava, with you shall be put to shame. And I started to meditate. I started to dwell in these words that I had memorized months before. these words that were just simply me sharpening my knife. Boring, 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 laborious, laborious, laborious. I started having this opportunity in that moment to meditate upon this passage that I had memorized in this come to Jesus moment. And I'm not kidding you guys, my soul found rest. And I'm having this like time with myself of like, this works. This stuff I've been talking about, like, God, it really does work. Who would have thunk? But I want to tell you guys, it works. We bring everything, every bit of our grumbling and our complaining and our hardened and our difficulties and our stress and our anxieties and our down and our up and our trials and our lack of and our difficulties and our relation. We have come to Jesus moments. We don't come to him when we've figured it out. We come to him so that with him we can figure it out together. And then this memorization and meditation will then start bringing the word deep into my soul and it will bring me life. Worship team, if they're up there, come on out, let's pray. Memorization of the word.
Yeah.
Such a great discipline, such a great training method. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your love and your grace. I thank you that you are good and kind. Lord, I pray that you would be with us, God, in this week as we continue to train ourselves in godliness. Lord, whatever that looks like this week for us, whether that is having a techno light week, whether that is jumping back into memorization, whether that is the meditation, whether that is finding rest, whether that is realizing if we are getting too comfortable in the exile, Lord, whatever our training method looks like this week or the methods, Jesus, I know you want to do that with us. Because Jesus, if we are not intimately, relationally connected and tied to you and empowered by the Spirit, these will just be religious things. And there is no life in religious things. So God, help us to make sure that we are connected relationally as we train. We are training with you, not exclusively just for you. We are training with you and in you. And so God, help us in that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.